and seems to be further increasing in the future. The service factor, all the people involved in all the services, and which gives a completely new way of offering, using, and organizing IT support functionality. I mean, this is also an enormous thing to keep in mind. Windsurf mentioned already the importance of security and trustworthy interconnections, privacy, user empowerment, which are also extremely important factors when we approach the research in this area. So, with these words of sort of focusing on the challenges we have, I would like to mention a bit on where we are in our research efforts in Europe and in the FP7 program. It's a lot of figures on this slide. I don't want to go into details. There's a problem. You didn't see any of the slides. None of them. Gosh, interesting. I didn't look at that. That's interesting, yeah. None of the slides were wrong. Could I have some help then? Because then I don't know what to do. I don't know.
You tried to
There we are.
Your comments are perfectly understandable and intelligible without the slides. So nobody noticed.
Gosh, interesting. Well, the slides were nice, I can tell you. Just flick a bit. Well, the statistics were there. So I think I just continue. Thanks a lot for helping me on track again. So the figures that I referred to, which is a bit too many, and I don't want to go into details there. I mean, maybe the biggest share is the most interesting for us, the ICT part, which is 9 billion euro over 7 years, so around 13, 14 billion dollars or something in comparison. So that is what we are putting in place in this program for coming years. On the ICT part, we divide the whole activity into 7 challenges. And on the top, you see the socioeconomic goals, the digital libraries, the healthcare part, the energy and efficiency, the independent living, aging. And on the other, more horizontal part, we have network and services, cognitive systems, robotics, and component systems. So the future internet is the network of services, of course, and there is an activity which is split into 6 different areas. Network of the future, internet of services and software, internet of things, networked media, and on the vertical arrows, we have trustworthy internet. And to the right, we have the fire activity, which is also it's a vertical activity here, but I would say it's more horizontal because it's sort of we are creating a testbed for all the different areas in this program. And these are the budgets attached to the different activities. So it shows, for instance, that for our area we have 50 million euro available for the next call, which is coming later this year. So the activities we are running within this challenge is several. We are, of course, coordinating the different projects. We have, at this point in time, 94 projects with a budget of around 400 million euros. We have 500 participants in these different consortia. We are expecting to, in the next 2 years, to put into the system and the funding another 300 to 400 million euros. We have introduced a formula to keep all these projects together and to get synergies out of them. We have launched a future Internet Assembly, the FIA activity, which have meetings every half year. We are also inviting the member states because, as you know, the EU consists of 27 member states. And in several of these member states, there are important and interesting projects going on, which we would like to also to build on. We have G-Lab in Germany. We have Ambient Sweden in Sweden. We have activities in France, Finland, Italy, elsewhere. We are also together with a number of the biggest industries in this area in Europe discussing at the moment a possibility to focus on a more short-term activity, a private-public partnership. And this might mature over the autumn, I would say. So next time this year, we are more clear on exactly what we would like to do there. But there is a certain trend that we would or wish that we would like to concentrate for more short-term research. So this was FP7 and the activities we are running there. Let me now come closer to FIRE. And on FIRE, I would also like to, after a couple of slides, show you a video that we have just produced to explain more in detail what we are doing. FIRE, the purpose of FIRE is creating a research environment for investigating and experimentally validating highly innovative and revolutionary ideas. This is the purpose with FIRE. And we do this by testing, comparing, investigating different ideas. So as soon as we have a long-term research, we would like to put them in the validation and have large-scale experiments done. For that, we need this federation of testbeds. Our approach is certainly to federate testbeds. But here also I agree with Chip. We, at this point in time, we have a number of testbeds, but the usage and the use cases are under development, I would say. So we are looking for how to put together these testbeds, both on the networking layer, but also on the service layer. And the idea is to have experiment based on these testbeds, between the different testbeds. And we want to look into technology trends, business models, societal impact. I think that is the socioeconomic part of this exercise is also important. And we are will further emphasize that for the future. FIRE wants to understand how internet is changing and how we can improve society. I think the key words here are basically network, including also services, but network is the starting point for what we want to look into more closely here. Complexity is a key word. Complexity of the network, of the different layers, and then the interaction between them is key. these are elements we want to get more projects to look at. Multidisciplinary is also important. People from different disciplines should be involved. The empirical approach is key. To touch, to experiment, to get that going is absolutely essential. And we see around the corner some sort of internet science coming out of this, hopefully. So FIRE was launched 1 year ago. We selected out of 120 proposals, we selected 14 projects. So OneLab 2 and P2 are the biggest ones, integrated projects as we call them. And OneLab 2 is very much based on Planet Lab, which you are well aware of. So OneLab is running nodes in Europe and elsewhere. P2 is much more on they are coordinated by Eurescom, which is the body coordinating the different telecoms operators in Europe. So they are much more on the industrial side and much more closer to the market. Frederica is also part of the family. They are based on Enrens and Giant, and they can offer virtualization of different kinds. We have sensor networks in Vital++, and so we have a good coverage of different parts of what we would like to see for the testing for the future. The question is now how to federate these test bits. We have eight experimentally-driven multidisciplinary research projects, most of them coming from what we call SAC, Situated Autonomic Communication, which has been running for a period already. We have two supporting actions, Fireworks, which is still a relatively small project, but could be compared to the Jenny office, I would say, the project which is coordinating the different efforts. And at this point, I would like to show this video, which we very recently put in place to show the different projects more in detail. If it works. Let's see. This is not the one.
So why do we need FIRE?
Because over 30 years, the evolution of the internet has been driven by innovative applications that makes its management more and more complex.
Why do we need to change?
Observers cannot agree whether we should just allow things to continue as they are, or whether we need to consider starting again with radically new architecture, a clean slate.
Surely that's just a matter for technologists.
No, that's the point. The future of the internet now involves powerful cultural, economic, and societal dimensions. so we need to involve everyone in the future shape of the internet.
So, where does FHIR fit in?
FHIR is a federation of testbeds that supports strategic, multidisciplinary research on new internet concepts by bridging the gap between visionary research and large-scale experimentation.
How does it work?
To be of real support in Europe's exploration of future internet networks and services, FHIR has to grow its integrated testbed prototypes carefully.
So the more they help developers, the more powerful the testbeds become?
Yes. FHIR is growing by attracting new users whose visions and challenges drive a gradual improvement and development of the Testbed Federation. This collaborative approach also helps its users shape it specifically to their needs and profit from being early pioneers.
How does the process begin?
It starts a long way from FHIR, where a developer has a challenge.
Great. What's this one?
This developer has built an online knowledge transfer application that helps many different types of business cluster exchange highly confidential information securely.
And the challenge?
No business will use the exchange unless it has been proven to be secure and rewarding to use. So the developer needs to test it in a safe environment. The problem is, which testbed is the right one to use?
Why can't they just build their own?
Because it costs a lot of money, and after you've used it, then what?
So what is PanLab?
Meet Tassos.
P2 is representing a number of European testbeds. What we do is we describe them, what they can do, what they can offer to the customer, put this information in a tool we call Tegel. This Tegel has then enough information to help the customer choose the right testbed for his application and also enough information to connect the testbeds on demand. Tegel helps the customer to evaluate its results and thus speeding up his research and development and experimenting with his application in a real-life environment.
How do they get to know where the testbeds are?
PanLab is useful to testbed operators as it can raise the profile of their test environment and deliver new customers. It's a win-win situation.
A good place to start if I'm a developer. A bit like a trusted advisor.
Exactly. Shall we move on? This developer wants to create a tool for testing the ergonomic design of handheld digital devices. They need to distribute video content to thousands of users and get personal feedback.
And the challenge?
The devices they are developing will be commercially sensitive. They have to test the security and distribution capabilities of their new system before they launch it.
So what is the OneLab 2 project?
Europe has many testbeds, but a lot of them are designed for specialist developers. OneLab 2 operates an open, general-purpose, large-scale experimental facility.
If it's that big, how can it offer real-life conditions?
Meet Sergey.
OneLab 2 is part of a large international effort. We do provide access to thousands of machines and handheld devices all over the world. And in addition, we provide a sophisticated monitoring infrastructure to collect the data for the users.
How big is big?
OneLab 2 is connected to one of the world's largest testbeds, accessing thousands of machines in 41 countries and connected to the internet to allow public access.
I've got a developer now. They're building a large-scale application that enables domestic users to bring together audio and video files on specific subjects made by other users, and then add into this personal schedule outputs from professional broadcasters and specialist communicators.
A kind of personal media channel.
Exactly.
So their challenge is they need to be able to test peer-to-peer user applications, but also integrate into their evaluation IP multimedia technology subsystems from the traditional communications networks. It's all about integration and the need to test quality of service, security, and privacy. Vital++ brings together the best of two very different worlds. On one side, you have the users talking with each other, so-called peer-to-peer networks, and on the other, you have the large professional communicators and next-generation networks.
So using this as a testbed will help the developer evaluate if the integration works and study how citizens might use the personalization before launch.
That's right. Meet Spiros.
The use of audiovisual systems is rapidly becoming a real driver behind the broadband technology. So, connecting user systems and content with broadcasters and operators is one of the Vital++ testbed offerings.
I could become my own broadcaster.
It's likely that everyone will broadcast to their own communities of interest. But the technology offered here makes sure that the systems work before too many start publishing.
What's next?
This developer has invented a way in which buildings can become intelligent, allowing them to monitor and adjust to changing circumstances. However, their customers are going to be large public-funded organizations like schools and hospitals, so they have to prove it works first.
So it's just connecting up sensors, is it?
No, much more than that. they have used a new approach to setting up network wireless infrastructures in challenging environments. WiseBed can integrate middleware in the testbed and manage the development of algorithms and protocols for very large distributed systems, automatically in some cases.
So using WiseBed will speed things up?
Meet Dennis.
The federation of 9 European testbeds allows researchers to implement new algorithms and to bypass the need for the installation of their own local testbeds. And we provide, as the WiseBed project, the expertise and evaluation to help them achieve their goals.
Hospitals and schools managing their own environments. Great. Next.
This developer believes that they have created a unique form of encryption security for online transactions.
That's what they all say.
This small team need a replica of the whole internet in which their concept can be tested. In other words, they want to set it up safely and then try and break it or at least disrupt it. They can't do this on the general internet, so they need their own private version that acts exactly the same to try it out.
So I can see that Federica is a closed experimental facility. But can you get into it by just using the internet?
Yes. Once through the security into your own testbed area, you can work inside a huge but realistic environment, based on gigabit Ethernet circuits connecting transmission equipment and computing points of presence that hold programmable routing, and switching equipment that are capable of virtualization.
Virtualization?
The whole environment creates virtual resources in slices. Users see and fully control all the virtual components in their slice as if they were physical. More than one slice can be active at the same time without interference. Users are facilitated to have technical discussions between them.
Amazing. Hiring your own private internet to explore the future.
That's what the FIRE projects are all about.
I've got my own challenge.
Go on.
Suppose that I have invented a completely revolutionary network and service infrastructure that will entirely replace the current one. Can I use all these testbeds connected up to test it?
Well, that's something the FIRE people are working on, incorporating high-level federation frameworks.
But surely the real internet is now too complex. It's not only about networks. For example, a big area of development is in the services area. If FIRE is to be genuinely a one-stop shop for developers, surely it has to offer experimental facilities across all perspectives.
You're right. The internet is a vast three-dimensional mix of networks and services, and FIRE is exploring how new ideas can work not just horizontally within system development on one level like the network, but also vertically across different layers, from connectivity to all types of open services platforms, like for content delivery and for enterprise management. It wants to see how one layer of the internet affects other layers within the whole system.
Simple then. All I have to do is write an email or pick up the phone to FIRE.
Yes, they are always happy to answer questions, no matter how small. However, there is just one thing they are looking for that perhaps you haven't got yet.
What's that?
A visionary idea?
Oh, yeah. I'm working on that.
Yeah, that's it. That's FIRE. But I will show you some more slides on this theme. Let's see if I find the slides again here. Yeah. So, what are the next steps? What are we preparing at this moment in time? Well, it's the next call for proposals. These projects that you just saw in the video are established. They and other projects and maybe slightly revised projects will be invited very soon to the next call, which will close in the end of October. And here to the right, we have the experimentally driven research, which has been mentioned several times now. We are looking for visionary, multidisciplinary, holistic research, which should contribute with challenges to the facility themselves. So there we put 20 million euro for this part of the call, and for building the facility and federating facilities, we put 25 million euro. 20% of this funding is earmarked for a gradual expansion of the facility. Another 20% is earmarked for user stimulation. Exactly of the reason that we want really to get the testing more visible and frequent, to get it going, actually. So we hope that will make a contribution for the next phase, for the second year, actually. And so in 1 year time, we expect that these facilities will be more operational. We have also 5 million for supporting actions, which goes to projects who can support international collaboration, but also standardization and coordinating of the projects themselves. The management and the overall federation governance, let's say, is a question that we have not solved, but we invited some months ago 5 experts, independent experts, to draft a report and give us ideas on how such you call it control plane, I think, and this is something similar that we are trying to get in place. So the idea from these experts is that from the right we have the experiments coming in, the interesting ideas, and they should have some sort of possibility to have a one-stop shop. A portal, research tools should be available, and then we should, let's say, put the different projects who are executing different testing in, let's say, similar boxes which could be used on connectivity, core networking, compute resources, but also further up in the stack. I mean, also the wireless and IMS and sensor test beds should be easy accessible through these means and tools. At the same time, it's extremely important not to get it too much, let's say, overloaded or red tape, or that is something we have to keep in mind, and to have a smooth interaction between the different facilities is key. But this is an idea that we are at this moment in time discussing with the projects and also see how we can further develop. The report is available on our website, and it's accessible for everyone who are interested. So, conclusions. I think future internet is very much recognized as a priority in Europe, but also here, I understand, as something we have to put a lot of efforts into to develop further, to meet the demands from the society. I mean, internet is becoming a core infrastructure for society, it's clear. We have already a comprehensive set of initiatives and tools, and it's much work now to also pool these resources. Experimentation is crucial. Hands-on experiments are the key of our activity, and I think that is an important way forward. I think also, when listening to Chip and others here, I mean, we have much in common. I think the international cooperation is key, and that's why we are here, and I think we have an interesting day ahead of us tomorrow to see how we more can interact and get synergies between our different activities. So with this, thank you very much for your attention, and more information on the web, of course. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank Per again so much for coming all this way. This is kind of a long way from Europe, and so thank you for doing that. Our final speakers, who will speak very, very briefly,